Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa. That's David Charlie Charlie Sam. That's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha. .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Few things could possibly be a David Charlie Charlie understanding the blood of Jesus. And it's a privilege for me to share with you this five-part series from Brother Scott Ryubia from the church at Porterville on the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua. This is sound doctrine and as good as I can ever remember hearing regarding the history of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Few things could possibly be more important than understanding the blood of Jesus. And it's a privilege for me to share with you.
The Precious Blood of Jesus, part 26, verse 26 and to 28. One is Matthew 26, verse 26 and to 28. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And Romans 3, 24 and 25. Let me read these to you. You're certainly welcome to turn there, but for your own study, maybe you jot them down. Matthew 26, 26. It says, you're familiar with this. And as they were eating, this was the night he was betrayed. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Or the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He only says shed for many because most of the population that has ever lived and died and lives today will reject Jesus. Even though he was sufficient as the Lamb of God for the entire population of the world to be saved. Because John said, look, there's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus indicates here that there's going to be most that will not accept him. So he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, remission of sins is very, very different than the Old Testament concept of covering them. Covering means to hide, to take out of view. They still exist, but they're out of God's sight. Remission means they're dealt with once and for all, they're gone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. As we spend a little bit more time today talking about the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 says, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation. That doesn't mean discussion, that means way of life. Conversation is literally translated the way you live, your way of life. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter there, understanding then, at the point that he wrote this, so much more than he did when he walked with Jesus. Peter there connects Jesus to the Old Testament sacrificial system. And he, if you was to explode what he was saying there, he's basically saying all the lambs that were slain in the Old Testament for the covering of sin were just a picture of Jesus. They were not something that could take away your sins. It was just pointing to the fact that someone was coming that would die. His blood would be enough to wash away your sins. That's what he's doing here. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified by your sins, it was just pointing to the fact that someone was coming that would die. His blood would be enough to wash away your sins. That's what he's doing here. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified, now the word justified, you've heard it many times here and other places. Justified means just as if I'd never done that. You're justified. If you get hauled into court for something that someone's accused you of and the jury acquits you, you're justified. It's just as if you'd never done what somebody accused you of. Now, if you're convicted, that's different. It goes on your record and it's forever there. But if you're acquitted, you're justified. It's just as if you'd never done what they accuse you of. Being justified, you and I, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. The word propitiation means an atoning victim. It means somebody that died in your place for you. Whom God hath set forth to be an atoning victim for you through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Amen. You know from last week's lesson, maybe from your own study and prior Christian growth, you know that God established the price of our forgiveness and our restoration to Him. He set the price to be the sacrificial death and the blood offering of a sinless man who was also God. Now, we call Him the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But I remind you that He was God the Son. See, and I said this last week, many of the mythologies of past times of Greek and Rome and other places, they all have gods and they all have sons of gods. Don't confuse Jesus, the Son of God, with so many other sons of God. Because not only was the Son of the Father, He is God the Son, Himself God. And so, as I said, God established the price for you to be forgiven and you to be restored to Him to be the sacrificial death and the blood offering of a sinless man who was also God. An important personal acknowledgement is this. You need to get this. A lot of Christians don't. Here's what you need to get. We must ourselves agree in our hearts with God about the blood. You see, a lot of Christians say, yes, I've been forgiven, I've been washed in the blood, but I need to do this to show God or to earn from God or to get back from God. No, you must agree with God when God says the blood is enough. You can't add anything to God's price. We must ourselves agree in our hearts with God about the price that He set for your salvation. If you don't, you're in for trouble in your life. We too must agree to what God has established, that the shed blood of Jesus satisfies His holiness and His requirements for justice as it relates to our sins. little bit later in this message today, you're going to understand that some people will say, well, I believe that the blood is enough to wash my sins away, but I just carry the guilt of those sins. I know I'm forgiven, but I still carry the guilt. You're saying the blood isn't enough. You and I must agree with God, just like the message in tongues and interpretation several weeks ago. God says yes, we need to say what? Oh, are you sure? Oh, would you tell me that again? Oh man, I don't know if I believe that. Is that what he said? No, he says, when I say yes, you say?
Amen.
You say amen. You agree with God. It's the same thing about the blood. What God says about the blood, what he says it can do, what he says satisfies him, you need to agree with him. Otherwise, you're going to shortchange yourself in this life. God said, the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood is enough. You can't say, nor dare you tell anyone else, that, well, you can be washed in the blood, but then you've got to go out and you've got to give so much money a year, you've got to do so many good things each year, or God won't accept you. No. That's saying the blood isn't enough, if you add other things to it. Are we to be generous givers? Yeah. Are we to serve the Lord? Yes. But not in exchange for our salvation. We do it because the Word says the kingdom people are this way. We do it because we love God. We don't do it to earn anything. The blood has been enough. You and I must agree with God when He says the blood is enough. It is enough to wash us clean from all our past sins. It is enough to wash us clean from the sins that we committed since being born again. And it's enough for the sin that we might commit between now and the day that our death happens upon us and we're delivered from this life. The blood is enough. Now, I do remind you, from past lessons, even just 3-4 months ago, there are three areas that the blood will not wash. I don't have any doubt that you'll never need to worry about these three areas, but I do want to remind you that God has said, the blood is enough unless you do this. And that this was, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You will not be forgiven. The blood will not be enough if you fail to forgive others. Pretty clear? And the blood will not be enough if you apostatize. That means you grow in grace, you learn the Word, you live for God, and then somehow you slip away and you get off course and you start living for yourself, and before long you say, oh, that was just a bunch of hooey anyway. You turn your back on God. I don't mean this casual backslider kind of a thing. I mean you go out and you actually begin to live for the devil. The blood is not enough. You read Hebrews chapter 10 in other places. Blood is not enough. But those are the only three areas, and there's no concern in my life at all for you for ever having to deal with those kinds of things. But there are those that will suffer because of those one or more of those issues. But you and I must agree with God that the blood is enough. All unintentional sins, all sins of ignorance. I didn't know that was wrong. All sins committed that you did know better. Now, those are costly. That's called iniquity when you know better and you do it anyway. Oh, well, I just can't control myself. Oh, I just got to do it. Oh, I'll just go back and ask God to forgive me after I've done it. You know better. You don't ask for grace. You don't ask for the Spirit to help you. You just give in, and then you go back later and say, oh, God, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong before I did it. Would you please forgive me? If you're sincere, He will. But when you sin and you know better, there is a cost. It costs you something. It costs you something. But the blood is enough when you get to God with your iniquity. All unintentional sins, all sins of ignorance, sins committed when you knew better, and even yes, the touch of the world upon your life are all cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You see, I could live for God all day long, do a good job. And I sit down and I turn the television on, I watch the news, I watch some television show. The world has just touched me. Some of the video games that you guys play. It's the world reaching out and getting a hold of your mind. Its priorities, its values, its entertainment standards. Whenever you do anything that's outside the realm of fellowship with the brothers and sisters, as studying the Word, being in the presence of God, be careful. The world is there to touch you, to get a hold of you, to try and woo you back, to make you just a little bit dirty. Not from sin, just its attitude, its influence. What did Jesus say on the night he was betrayed? Peter said, "Oh no, don't wash me." He says, "If I don't wash you, you'll have no part of me." That would have been enough to scare me. He said, "Oh Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head also." And Jesus said, "What? No. Only your feet need to be washed because the rest of you is clean." The only reason his feet were dirty was because he'd been out walking around in the world. Right? It's the same with you and I. We could walk with the Lord all day long, but by the end of the day, if you've listened to the radio, turned the television on, been with people that are not Christians, somehow the world has touched you and there's a little bit of road dirt on you. You need to be cleansed. Need to be washed of that. Lord, cleanse me from the touch of the world. I pray that regularly. Cleanse me from the touch of the world. Lord, neutralize the influence that the world had on me today. Eventually I'll get to a place, I think, where there are going to be fewer and fewer opportunities for the world to touch me. But until that day, or until I go to be with the Lord, we need to be careful about the world reaching out and get a holding of our minds, getting a holding of our hearts, getting a hold of our spiritual knowledge and contaminating it. All unintentional sins, all sins of ignorance, sins committed when you knew better, and the touch of the world are all cleansed from you by the blood of Jesus. If you stop and repent, ask for forgiveness, and by faith ask for and believe that you have been washed clean again by the blood. You can't be born again and then live 20 or 30 years and never once more be sorry for your sins and be clean before God. I don't know how he's going to deal with that. I honestly don't. We need to regularly get before God and deal with our sins. Don't let them add up, because let me tell you what happens. When your sins add up, they become like a callus over your spirit. You hear less and less from God. You care less and less about God. When you've walked so long in your sins, after having been born again, you haven't been cleansed from your sins, they begin to affect you. We need to get to God regularly. Be cleansed. If you don't do it, you're living dangerously. And as you heard, by faith, ask, by faith, believe, by faith, receive what the blood will do for you. And then go on. Don't sit there and scratch your head and say, "Did it really happen? Can I really trust it? Is it work today? I know it worked yesterday, but will it work today?" Don't ask those questions. You don't have to. That's merely the devil giving you doubts and reasons to what? Question God. God said the blood is enough, and if by faith you'll receive it, it's yours. Now, what we've been speaking chiefly of is what the blood does between you and God and me and God. In truth, its most important work is between you and God and me and God, although it has other work that it does. Now, we want to be careful that we don't use the blood in instances where it was never called to have an effect. The blood, you've heard me teach over the years, if you've been around me, the blood does not change who you are. It only washes who you are. The cross changes who you are. So you need the blood to wash your sins away, but you need the cross to change who you are so that you don't sin anymore. So you can't ask for God and believe by faith that the blood is going to change who you are. It's the wrong substance. It's the wrong provision. You don't use a hammer to unscrew a screw, do you? Although I bet some have tried. You don't use a monkey wrench to bang a nail into the wall, although I'm sure some have tried. You don't use the blood for some things, but you do use the blood most definitely for other things. So let's not ascribe things to the blood that it was never empowered to do by God. See, otherwise you become like the seven sons of Sceva. They thought they knew. They went in and tried to cast a demon out. They weren't really Christians, but they knew the formula. They knew what to say and how to say it. And so they went in and tried to cast a demon out of this guy, and the demon says, "Well, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you guys?" They tried to do something that they were not empowered to do. They weren't Christians. And the devil, in the guy, beat him silly and sent him naked out the door. Let's be careful. We know what we're doing when we pray using the blood or we talk to God about the cross. People that are not saved and serving God probably aren't going to benefit a whole lot from the blood. That's God's business. I can't say for sure one way or the other. We who are saved, we who are serving God, we can call upon the blood and we by faith can apply the blood and by faith know that it's going to do its work. But those that are not serving God, those that don't have the Lord Jesus in their heart as King and ruler, I don't know. We've been speaking chiefly about what the blood does between you and God and me and God, and that is its most important work. But that is not the only place where the blood has work to do. The blood of the Savior actually works in three, count them three, important areas of our life while we live upon the earth. Now, everything changes when we go to heaven. We don't need most of what the Lord has provided us to use and count on here upon the earth, because once we're there, we're delivered from this body of death. But while we live here on the earth, there's three areas that the blood is important to us. Again, never forget that God said the blood is enough to do these things. As I take you through these three areas, and we're not going to get through them today. Never forget that God said it is enough to do these things. Things that we're learning about. It is effective however He says it is effective. But at the same time, you can't say the blood will do this if God never said the blood will do that. And you need to know the Word to know the difference. So that's why we're encouraging you, read the Word, study the Word. I too was encouraged by Sister Mary's testimony. It's one thing to dash through the Word. It's another thing to go through the Word and study and think and listen and ask the Holy Spirit like she does, help me understand. Because He is the teacher. Amen. The blood is effective however God says it is effective. We benefit from its value, you and I, only by faith in it. If you don't have faith that the blood can wash your sins away, even though God says isn't enough, it is enough, you will still have your sins because you're not getting a hold of the power of the blood by the one thing God says you need to do, and that's to get a hold of it by faith. If you don't believe that it can wash you, it will not wash you. Could it? Yes! Will it? If not, if you don't believe in it. No. We benefit from the value of the blood only by faith in the blood. We must, by faith, believe that the blood of Jesus works in every way that God has established it to work. If we do, the blood is precious, and the blood is absolutely crucial to our right standing before God. If we do not believe by faith in its power, in its work, the blood cannot help you in the ways that God made it effective too. Now let me read you some scriptures here. Nope, I skipped ahead. The blood of Jesus is mighty. That is to say, it is completely powerful in these three areas. Number one, Godward. The blood is effective Godward, toward God, between you and God. Number two, the blood is effective selfward. The blood is effective upon your own conscience. And it's supposed to be. And number three, the blood is effective devilward. It is effective against the devil. Those three areas. Now, we knew that it was good to wash our sins away, but most people didn't know that it was supposed to also take care of our guilt. Most people don't know that the devil just turns and high-heels it out of your presence when you start talking about the blood and you start claiming the blood and you've been washed in the blood and your mind has been sprinkled by the blood. The devil turns around and runs because he knows he has no hold on you because of the blood. He has no hold on you if by faith you trust it. We need the blood most Godward, don't we? If we don't have the blood between us and God to deal with our sins, nothing else matters. Doesn't matter what we think of ourselves. Doesn't matter what the devil says or doesn't say. It doesn't matter. If the blood isn't working between me and God, selfward and devilward isn't going to matter a bit. Because we still have to face an angry God if we don't have the blood to wash us. We need the blood most, Godward. That is, before it can do us good in these other two places, we must have the blood in order to be forgiven by God, in order to be restored in a relationship with Him, and to be accepted as one of His own. In fact, one that is in a place before God as if she or he never sinned. That's what the blood does for you. If you've been washed by the blood and suddenly you stand before God, He sees you as someone that has never sinned because of the blood. Had you been a sinner? Yes, you may have been the foulest sinner that ever walked the terra firma. But because of the blood, that's gone. God sees you, He accepts you, He talks with you, He inhabits you as if you had never, ever sinned. That's the power of the blood. Praise God. He accepts you as one of His own, as if you're like one of the holy angels. You'd never once sinned. You and I know better, huh? As I said this morning, oh, we're just sinners, saved by grace. Thank you for the blood. If not for the blood in this application, between you and God, nothing else matters. Doesn't matter what else the blood can do. If the blood hasn't cleansed you before God, nothing else matters. Instead of seeing our sinful past, God instead sees the blood and His just requirements are satisfied. You need to agree with God. Yes, God, I agree with You that the blood is enough. It is, because it is. You need to agree with God. Let me read you how it all started. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Now this is a type in the picture of you coming under condemnation of God for your own wickedness. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Let me read you some scriptures here. And it says, and Moses is talking here and he's sharing with them the word of the Lord. And you, children of Israel, still in Egypt, you shall keep the lamb up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of the Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7, and they shall take the blood of the lamb, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of your houses, wherein they shall eat it. We just finished, in a manner of speaking, we just finished eating the lamb when we had communion. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land, this is God speaking, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. The blood applied to where you live. That's what he's saying. The blood applied to where you live. What happens? When I see the blood, I, an angry, just, holy God, when I pass over in my anger, in my holiness, in my justness, when I pass over and I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. He goes on from verse 21 to 23, saying the same thing again. When he sees the blood, he passes over. You're set free. You're allowed to live when everyone else is destroyed. When he sees the blood, he passes over. That's why we call it the Passover. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Listen to this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in the earth, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you and I, yet now hath he reconciled. How? He just told us, by the blood. Reconciled. Fixed everything. Lined us up. Got us in good relationship with God. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You, by his blood, you, dear ones, have been made holy. You have been made unblameable. You have been made unreprovable in the sight of God by the blood. But listen to this, verse 23. If you continue by faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of a gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. You've got to have faith that the blood is what God says it is, that it will do what God says it does. And leave it alone. You got to have faith. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Listen to this. For all have sinned. Poor Catholics, they think that the Virgin Mary was sinless. That's what the Immaculate Conception means. The Catholics believe that the Virgin Mary was born, and when she was born, there was some special, something special done by God so that when she was born sinless, that she might have a sinless baby, Jesus. Let me tell you something. Mary was as big a sinner in the sight of God as you were. Paul writes, maybe even to help us in the future who would have people that would say, well, Mary was, that was the Immaculate Conception. People think that was Jesus, but the Immaculate Conception, as far as my knowledge about Roman Catholicism, means the Immaculate Conception is Mary was born pure. She was sinless. That's why she could have a sinless baby. They don't understand what I've been teaching you about the blood. The blood came from the Father's sperm cell, not from Mary. That's why Jesus was himself pure and sinless. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely, just as if I'd never sinned, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. There's that word again. God hath set forth to be an atoning victim for you. Jesus was your lamb. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 5, verse 8. Let me read. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. The death angel coming over. The death angel saw the blood and kept going. We shall be in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. our Lord Jesus Christ through Him, through Jesus. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by favor with God. That's what the New Testament Greek word atonement means. You have received the atonement. Every one of you have been received Jesus as Savior. You have in the same time received the atonement. You have been restored to favor with God. Just as if you had never sinned. No matter how filthy you were, no matter how bad you were, it's as if by the blood of Jesus you had never committed a single sin. By the blood. One last, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom? Jesus. In we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. By the blood. The blood didn't happen when He was born, but we thank God Jesus was born. The blood didn't happen when Jesus was resurrected. Praise God He was resurrected. We know we have that hope to look forward to now. God can resurrect the dead. If God can resurrect God, the Son, God can resurrect you, a mere mortal. You ever think of that? If God can bring God back to life, living in a body, He can sure do that for you. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus, the perfect substance of redemption from the sinless man God sacrificed, for we who accept His gift, we are washed from our sins and we are forgiven. God never again holds the sins against us that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, according to His Word. Now here's where we begin to transition. Now we begin to transition to the second area of what the blood does for us. Now we begin to transition to the second area. The blood is Godward, the blood is selfward. Listen to this. This is the first thing you need to know. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 10, 14. For by one offering, His own blood, for by one offering, He hath perfected forever them, meaning you and I, them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. God was taking His rules from stone, the Ten Commandments, to flesh, your heart. When you accepted Jesus, He began writing His commands with His finger on your heart. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And because of the blood, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Did you hear that? Do you accept that? If you don't accept it, you're in for trouble in your life. Once you've been washed in the blood, those sins are gone. Amen. They're gone. You can't go back to God 2 weeks later after having been washed in the blood and say, oh God, I'm so sorry that I did this 20 years ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever. He really could say if he was having a conversation, what in the world are you talking about? I don't have any record of that. Right? Yeah, you don't believe me, huh? All right, let me give you something else. Psalms 103, starting in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. In other words, He didn't give us what we deserve. God forbid He give me what I deserve. For He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, when you sin ignorantly, that's one thing. But when you sin and you know better, you deserve special punishment. That's like we have in our justice system. If you kill somebody and you didn't plan it, you're going to get life in prison. But if you kill somebody and you did it on purpose, you planned it all out, those are special circumstances. And we have a very special prize for you if you plan somebody's murder and carry it out. It's called the death penalty. You see, a murder out of passion, unplanned, is bad enough. But when you plan it out, and then you go carry it out like this lady Schuster did with her husband in Fresno, went and killed him and dumped him in a vat of acid while he was still alive? Special circumstances. You deserve more punishment when you know better and do it anyway. But if you repent, if you're truly sorry, if you ask the Lord to help you, for, let me see here, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He don't give you what you deserve for breaking His laws even though you knew better. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Verse 12, as far as east is from west. Now, the west coast of the United States is 3,000 miles from the east coast from the United States. But which east and west is He talking about? He could be saying as far as the east part of your solar system is from the west part of your solar system. He could say as far as the east part of the entire universe is from the west. Who cares? As far as the east is from the west, so far away hath He removed our transgressions from us. Some of us need to get a long way from our transgressions, huh? And that tells us they're gone. They're removed. Like, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Isaiah 38, you need more convincing? The blood has washed them away. Isaiah 38, verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back. Now what's behind me? I cannot see, can I? Whatever's behind me, I can't see. That's a personification of God being a normal person that couldn't see behind His back. Now obviously God can see everything, but it's a personification of God being a human being that whatever's behind His back, He can't see anymore. What is it that's behind His back? Our sins, once they've been washed in the blood. And the last one I'll give you, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So they're in four places, and there are others. But there's more scriptures that basically says your sins are gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. With or under the blood, they're gone. Now here is the second area where the blood of Jesus does a needed work upon our individual consciences. Your conscience. Your conscience. Those wrong things I have done that I have a painful awareness of. What you're aware of, that's your conscience. Right? I am conscious of the fact that it's warm in here. I'm aware of the fact, right? When it comes to sin, you have a conscience. You have an awareness about your sin. Now, your awareness about your sin is something also to be dealt with in addition to your relationship with God. The first part of the blood is Godward. The second area that the blood needs to do its work is on your conscience, your awareness of your sin. When we commit sins, we are quickly convicted of our crimes against God. When you sin, you become a criminal before God. When we know we have sinned, we also know that we have just offended God. And in doing so, we have hurt our relationship with Him. Just like Adam and Eve did immediately after they sinned, what did they do? They felt guilt. And they ran and hid from God. That's what you and I are inclined to do when we sin. We feel guilty. We know, we understand, we're aware that we've just sinned, and we hope that we can find a place to hide from God. We're embarrassed. We're ashamed. That's your conscience. Sin results in these three things. Our fellowship with God is broken. We feel guilt. And then the devil, he's part three of this thing, and the devil has legal evidence with which to accuse us to our faces and to accuse us before God. The devil comes around, oh gosh, he says, get away from me, Satan. I've been washed in the blood. I don't have that shame or that guilt anymore. He goes, she's washed in the blood. Sin results in our fellowship with God being broken. We feel guilt, and the devil has the legal evidence to accuse us to our faces and to accuse us before God. The second area where the blood does a work is to cleanse our minds of the guilt and the shame, if we will let it. There are multitudes upon multitudes of Christians who know they are washed in the blood, they're forgiven by God, they're going to heaven, but they still live their lives in shame and guilt because of their sins. And that stunts their growth. That keeps them sick and weakly as far as being spiritual is concerned, because they don't know that the blood is there to also deal with their shame and their guilt. I have scriptures to prove this. The blood is Godward. The blood is selfward. The blood is Satanward. Those are its three areas. All three of those areas, God has said, the blood is enough. The blood is powerful. The blood is enough.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Few things could possibly be more important than understanding the blood of Jesus. And it's a privilege for me to share with you this five-part series from Brother Scott Ryubia from the church at Porterville on the blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua. This is sound doctrine and as good as I can ever remember hearing regarding teaching on the blood of Jesus. I hope and would encourage you to get copies of this teaching on the blood of Jesus by Brother Scott Ryubia.